Before she did anything else today, Clemmie had to check up on her next-door neighbor, Dom. Why Dom had moved to Sun City was not clear. He had never joined anything, attended anything, nor shown interest in anything. He just sat in his villa watching TV, playing video games, and smoking cigarettes. He owned the tiniest of the three attached villas, the one in the middle with no side windows and little sun. Clemmie lived on the left, and a couple she hardly ever saw owned the right-hand villa, using it as a hotel when they visited grandchildren in the area. When they arrived, which was infrequently, they used their automatic garage door opener, drove in, closed the garage door behind them, and that was that. Nobody ever spotted them again. Clemmie wasn't sure she'd even recognize them. It was agreed that Clemmie had the least rewarding neighbors in Sun City. Luckily, in her pod, the slightly creepy collective noun Sun City used instead of neighborhood, the little villas were tucked close together in heavily landscaped cul-de-sac. So Clemmie knew all her other neighbors, wonderful, friendly people who hosted outdoor barbecues and took her bowling and carpooled when everybody went to a Panthers game. Clemmie knew nothing about football, but she was following the Panthers now because everybody else did. And Sun City was all about doing what everybody else did. Dom lived alone, and when he'd fallen last year, it took him a day and a half to crawl to his cell phone and summon help. So now he texted Clemmie every morning to let her know he was fine. She'd text back something cheerful like, "Have a good day then," although she found it hard to believe that Dom ever had a good day, since his only friends were the hosts of hostile political talk shows. But this morning, Dom had not texted, nor did he answer her text, and then he didn't answer her phone call either. In spite of his COPD and arthritis, swollen ankles and weird, splotchy complexion, not to mention all the beer he drank, plus still smoking in spite of his lung problems, Dom was actually in fairly good health. Still, something must have happened. He'd given Clemmie a key to his villa for emergencies, after first extracting a promise not to tell anybody she had his key. It was not unusual for old people to get paranoid, so Clemmie did promise. But in fact, everybody would assume that Clemmie had a key, because you always gave your neighbor a key. Well, Clemmie certainly hadn't given Dom one. The last person she would want in her unit, or checking on her health, was Dominic Spesante. Her across-the-street neighbors, Joyce and Johnny, had her key. Clemmie so didn't want to go next door and find Dom dead. Or what if he had the flu, and she ended up taking him to the doctors and picking up his prescriptions and buying his groceries and probably catching the flu herself? Although, of course, she had had her flu shot, and it wasn't flu season anymore anyway. But it would be just like Dom to have a bug not warded off by last fall's injection. Wasn't that Clemmie was ungenerous. She loved to do things for other people. Just not for Dom, who had no personality unless he was swearing. And then he had a regrettable personality. Clemmie sighed, opened her front door, gasped at the South Carolina heat, even at 9 in the morning, crossed her tiny front lawn to Dom's, and rang his bell. There was no answer. She knocked hard on the glass part of the door. She couldn't peek in because Dom had installed blinds over the glass. Still no answer. Clemmie considered crossing the street and getting Joyce or Johnny to go into Dom's with her. Joyce and Johnny were in their 70s and not married, but living together. They loved to say that. "We're shacking up," they would whisper, giggling. Joyce's children were not okay with her decision to have a live-in boyfriend. The Oregon daughter thought Joyce should have moved to Oregon, and the New Hampshire son thought Joyce should have moved to New Hampshire. Joyce said her children just wanted free babysitters, and that was not what she was doing this decade. Johnny believed that his children didn't even know about Joyce because he had kept his own Sun City house, which was half a mile away, and even kept the cleaning lady, who still came every other Tuesday afternoon, and when anybody in his family visited, he just moved back in. Deception was easier than dealing with children still furious that Johnny had divorced their mother after 49 years of marriage, just prior to the big 50th anniversary party they had planned. Johnny's ex-wife in Maryland was not doing well, still shocked at what had happened to her, and the children rightly held Johnny responsible. He wasn't about to tell them that the move to Sun City and acquiring a new woman were the best things that had ever happened to him. But Joyce would refuse to come if Clemmy asked her to go inside Dom's. He was too creepy for her, and anyway, Joyce would be getting ready for their card game. She and Clemmy loved canasta, which they played twice a week at the clubhouse. The clubhouse was what turned Sun City into a magic kingdom. You just walked in and joined anything you felt like. Poker, mahjong, pottery, table tennis, acoustic guitar jams, wine tasting groups, Ohio State fans. Right now, Joyce would be choosing a complex outfit and accessories and fixing her face, having already blown dry and curled her hair. As for Johnny, he played pickleball today and was probably already gone.